SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Carver, hi. Seriously, as we continue this conversation, this guy, he never plays. He's always injured. He's always out. This is every year. It's every year. It's automatic. He's going to miss half the season. And then come playoff time, you want him to get rest? It makes no sense to me. These guys can play the whole game, and they can do it every game, and it is beyond me how they turn it into – that these guys need to go on some morbid sleep festival. Honestly, what do they need? Rest? They got to take a nap. They got to go to the, now look, hit the hot tub, hit the cold tub, hit the training table, go home, go to bed, get up. The things that bother me about the league are these constant, incessant shoot arounds and practices. Why in God's name do I got to practice anything at this level ever in a playoff? I could see walkthroughs and meetings about what they're doing wrong, but what are they going to do? Run drills? What are you going to run? We're going to have a scrimmage. We need the second team to come out here and stop Kevin Durant and Booker. It makes no sense. These constant morning shoot around, they do the same thing in hockey, the morning skate, and then their nap. It's all ridiculous. Play the games, play your stars, play every minute. That's how it works. And I have been hearing about this, crying about needing rest. What are they going to do in the next round when they haven't rested? Oh, my God, it's so ridiculous. Name one person you've ever met that played ball that wanted to come out of a game. There's no such thing. I was playing on a team with Mafia, and literally got to the point where I was barely playing, and I would go, you ready? You need a couple minutes? Not one guy ever wanted to come out ever. And finally, I quit. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to just sit on the bench and never play because nobody wants to come out of a game. It's no different in the NBA. None of these guys ever want to come out of the game.
No, they do not. We will talk about the Heat and the Bucks in a moment. They play game four tonight. The Bucks had an absolutely gutless performance in Miami on Saturday night. I have no idea what they were doing in that game. More bad news for the Heat. Victor Oladipo, who's another guy, unfortunately for him, always hurt. Torn patella tendon in his left knee, finished there. Giannis is expected to be back tonight. We mentioned already that the Sixers swept the Nets, and Embiid didn't even play in game four. It's the first Sixers sweep since 1985.
One other
Embiid
thing.
Embiid is, yes.
I'm sorry. I apologize. The guy, Brooklyn Bridges, nice job in game four, bro. What'd you go, 3 for 90? What happened to that guy? He went off the deep end. I have never seen a star player perform worse than Mikal Bridges did in that game. He literally, and he kept shooting. Like, at least Randall went to the bench and realized he was sucking on, tomatoes. He couldn't hit anything. But this guy Bridges kept shooting air balls and chucking, and he missed everything and wouldn't stop shooting. Like, at some point, I'm the team captain or something. I'd be like, listen, bro, honestly, just dish it. Give it to somebody else. You haven't hit a shot in 25 minutes. Honestly, you're colder than ice. You're as cold as your wife. Come on. Let's go.
Give someone else a chance. Come on now. Give somebody else a chance.
He was awful.
All right. He was awful, no doubt. Embiid's 50-50 to play game one of the next round. We will cross that bridge when we get there.
What's with this guy?
This week.
What is with this guy? What is wrong with him?
Doesn't play. Knee, I believe it's his knee, right? He had a sprained knee or something like that. That's what they were saying before game four. So finished. Odds to win the East. Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, of course, are your three favorites. The Knicks are a little bit closer now. You could forget, I think, about the Cavs and the Hawks, obviously, at this point, Scotty. They're finished.
Well, listen, if the Knicks beat the Cavs, then they would play the Heat winner, right? So
Heat Bucks.
The Knicks own the Heat and they own the Celtics. I mean, they're the only team to beat the Celtics all year. Right. So, well, I'm on the Knicks. I'm on the Knicks because I'm stupid like that. And I hate the Celtics, and I hate the Bucks, and I'm okay with the Heat, but not against the Knicks. I'm all Knicks all day, baby.
Let's see what the Bucks look like getting Giannis back tonight. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, SiriusXM 159, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. In the West, Suns still the favorites, then the Nuggets, Warriors, Lakers, Kings, Grizzlies, and then the T-Wolves and the Clippers, who are just about goodbye all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't I would keep it just the way it is. I think those two teams at the top are the two best teams. I don't believe that the Lakers can beat the Nuggets. I don't. And I don't believe that the Warriors have beaten the Kings yet at all. They're going to Sacramento for game five, and Fox needs to wrap that finger up and play. And that's all there is to it. And if they beat the Warriors, I mean, all hell will freeze over, right? And then then I would seriously put the Kings up there at the top with the Suns and the Nuggets, because they are impossible right at this point to beat in that building at Golden One. They score 130 a game there.
I will give you, when we come back, two games tonight and some betting trends so far in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And then the hockey we got to get to also.
Hockey's been way better than the basketball.
Yes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Mike, what are the betting trends you're talking about here?
All right, here we go. So far in the first round, favorites, Scotty, 18-11-1 against the spread. The home teams, 29-1. Home favorites, 14-5 against the number. And the team that wins the game is now 28-2 against the spread. 28-2. The Kings yesterday were the second team to cover the spread and not win the game so far in the first round.
And I hit it.
You hit it.
That's all I cared about was that 7.5. Now, do you have the stones to bet on the Grizzlies tonight to be the third team to cover the spread?
Yes, I do. Let me give you the Heat first, just because they got that one queued up first. And then I'm going to, because there's a change already in the Grizzly number. The Buck number is 7.5 now because Giannis is allegedly playing tonight. So -7.5 for Milwaukee, 218.5 is the total. And boy, do they need him, because I could not believe how lifeless and gutless the rest of those guys on the Bucks played in Miami on Saturday night, Scotty. What a dreadful. I mean, I get they don't got Giannis. I mean, they rolled him in game two, and they're still the one seed in the East. And they look like they were like the Nets or something the other night in that game. That's how bad they looked against Miami. That's how awful they were.
God, and what is that 7.5 screaming to you to take it, right? Like, are you not interested in that kind of piece? Do you think that Buckets is so broken down where he looked crippled on the floor twice in that game the other night, but he's averaging 30? If that guy has 30 tonight with all of his bangs and bruises, they'll cover it at 7.5.
My worry about this game is this whole series so far, these three games, they've all been blowouts. There's been nothing close in these games. Like, the winning team has smoked the other team in every game. And I just feel if the Bucks are going to win tonight, we're going to take the Bucks. I just feel. It just feels like that kind of a situation because these games have gotten so out of control so far. But I don't know. How much is Giannis playing? Is he playing a normal Giannis 37 minute, 33 point, 15 board type of night? Or is he just coming out to play 20 or 22 minutes? I don't think we have any idea. So I think that that's also got to play into it a little bit, right?
I pray to God in heaven above that the Heat beat them again and go up 3-1 and cover the 7.5. Like, honestly, like, I have no other reason to watch that game. Let's just be honest. I'm going to watch all the games. But I'm so into that Ranger double game that, like, the popcorn's already sitting right by the microwave. The Orville's ready to go. The Heinies, everything's ready. Hey. I mean, it's like a Friday night to me. It's all happening tonight on a Monday.
Both those early hockey games, very juicy. That Leaf Lightning game, very juicy tonight down in Tampa as well. For the Leafs, that's for sure. The late night game, of course, the Grizzlies look to even the series and send it back to Memphis 2-2 with the Lakers. This just went from 4.5 to 5.5 now. The updated number to the very second. 5.5, 222.5 the total.
It's the first time it's moved an inch, right? Like, so.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I just have this sneaking suspicion. I really do. I think the Grizzlies are going to beat them tonight.
I would like the 5.5 with the Grizzlies. Maybe they beat him. I would not stun me if they beat him, but I definitely want to have the 5.5. Lakers are not just going to coast to some like win in five over the Grizzlies. That's just not. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't see it.
They were up 30. They were up 30 in the first quarter the other night, and the game had a little bit of sweat in the fourth. Right? I mean, it had a little bit of sweat. I mean,
it did.
They were going to win the game, but it had some sweat to it, and they were up 30. So,
because of Ja.
Yeah, because of Ja. But I think that 45? This thing is, I mean, the guy went, it was ridiculous, the game that he had the other night. So I would probably want to be on the side with the Grizzlies tonight, catching those points. All right, there you go. Two games in the NBA. You'll talk more about them with Coach in a few minutes. Let's start the hockey, and we'll finish it later, because I got overtime games to get to with you from the weekend. First, late night last night in Los Angeles, the Kings had a 3-0 lead after one against the Edmonton Oilers, and they choked it up. They go back, they take a 4-1 lead. Oilers come all the way back to tie it at 4, and a big Evander Kane goal late in the third period. And then in overtime, Scotty, Zach Hyman on Sportsnet.
As he was right around Connor McDavid, Evan Bouchard. Long-range pass. Zach Hyman moving in. Rister shoots. Scores! Zach Hyman! The overtime hero! And the Edmonton Oilers have made it a best of three!
Your boy is just breaking up. He's so excited. Anyway, this is a great series. You knew it would be. We talked about it with Dennis Bernstein, that this was going to be a great offering, and every game gets better. The 3-goal lead, the worst lead in hockey, and particularly you don't see that in a playoff game, a team up 3-0. Like, the Canes were up 4-0, right? And they won. They didn't have a problem with it, but the Kings had a problem with it, and it's because of Draisaitl, 2 goals. They are so dangerous and so able to score goals in droves and quickly. At some level, I still feel, I don't know about you, Mike, at some level, I feel like they're going to get it done. They're going to win this. They're that good.
Well, I especially feel it last night because it was right there for the Kings. I mean, the Kings get a 3-0. They win that game last night, and I think the Kings would have won the series. I think they would have found a way to win one of these next, you know, three chances to move on. Now, 2-2, going back to Edmonton, blowing that game. I think they could lose in 6 now. I think the Oilers would win the next 2 and probably send them home. That's how fast things change when you can't hold on to a big lead like that, especially at home. Yesterday in the East, Bruins beat the Panthers, Hurricanes beat the Islanders. Let's just put it like it is. The Bruins and the Canes are going to move on. The question is now, are they going to do it in 5 tomorrow night, or is this going to linger to a next game? Those two teams are moving on at this
point. The Bruins are going to finish off the Panthers tomorrow night, as sure as I'm sitting here, and the Canes are going to finish off the Islanders. The Canes have been better in every single period of this playoffs, except the game 3 that the Islanders look so good. Every other period, every single period of every game, 1, 2, and 4 have been all Carolina all day. They're the better team. They had a better season. And you're starting to see why the Islanders were a wild card and the Canes were a division winner.
Oh, yeah. It's Islanders just, they generated nothing yesterday. And you keep that team's too good on the power play. You keep handing them power plays, they're going to keep scoring. And that's exactly what happened for Carolina. The Stars got the series even with Minnesota. Huge. We expected a long one. It's 2-2 now going back to Dallas. So good job by the Stars getting the split. On Saturday, Vegas had a 3-goal lead in the third period in Winnipeg, and they blew that. Scotty, a couple late goals by the Jets to get to overtime. They needed two overtimes before Michael Amadio on Sportsnet sent everyone home.
Three shots for Vegas as Dylan DeMello's up to the puck. He's hit by Howden. Sandberg put it up. It's good. Robertson and Brett scores! Michael Amadio puts it home, and Vegas mutes the white noise in Winnipeg with an overtime win in game three.
Yeah, it's got to be tough losing that game on a turnover in your own end right in front of the goal and to a guy no one's ever heard of in their entire life.
That is a tough way to do it. I've got a couple of other overtime winners, and then we have four games tonight. Pivotal. Game fours in New York, Tampa, etc. We will talk about it later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, so just before we get to the lion's share, I'll let you know that the deal has apparently been consummated between the Jets and Packers for Aaron Rodgers. And essentially, the gist of it is that the Jets get the 15th pick instead of the 13th pick and a 23 fifth rounder. The Packers get the 13th pick, which was the Jets. They get a second rounder, 42, a sixth rounder, 207. And a conditional 24 second round pick if he plays 65% of the snaps, Rodgers with the Jets. So the deal apparently is done. Aaron Rodgers is now a New York Jet. Take advantage of every thrilling moment this NBA playoffs with BetMGM's signature bets. Whether it's a player, game, or team prop, BetMGM's signature bets captures moments in the game you'll never be able to bet on. You've never done it before. And best of all, they're completely exclusive to the BetMGM app. With markets like Splash Brothers, two teammates to each hit 4 3-pointers in a game, the Rick Barry, a player to not miss a free throw in a game, or Brick City, a player to miss 5 straight field goals, you've got a variety of unique and exotic markets for the entire playoffs. To place your signature bet, log on to the BetMGM app, click right into the NBA playoff matchup of your choice, click the Signature Bets tab on the top bar to check out all the exclusive bets. Each NBA playoff game has their own set of unique markets, so check out the variety across every first round playoff matchup. Coach James Young joins us every day for the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM. And I want to start with this. Fox breaks his finger late in the game, index finger, tip of the finger. I said to Carver High earlier in the show, there's no way I'm not playing that game. I play with broken fingers all the time. I've never sat out a game with a broken finger. I've never sat out a game with a broken toe. And I broke every finger 15 times. If this guy doesn't play in that game on game five at Sacramento, then he's a P. That's just all there is to it. I wouldn't even let the team tell me I couldn't play, coach. You got to be kidding me.
Well, to me, first off, this is going to be about the team and not Fox. Because if I'm Fox, I'm playing. Tape these two fingers up. Tape them up. Go to work. How many guys we've seen play with this? So, listen, De'Aaron Fox has been I don't even want to say a breakout star because he's been a star. It's just people may not know about him because he plays in Sacramento. But he's been unbelievable. And he finished the game, Pharrell. Like, it's not like he heard it, like, today in practice. He heard it during the game and finished the game. Tape it up and play. Big, big game number five. I still think this is probably going seven now because I can't trust the Warriors on the road.
Wow. So, and when he fired that shot, Barnes, what was your reaction? Did you want it to fall or did you want it to miss? I had the Kings and the 7.5, so I was loving life either way. But what did you want when that ball left his hands?
Well, first off, when I was like Harrison Barnes, I'm like, damn, that's who's taking the shot? That's who's taking the shot? But that being said, I wanted it to go in. At the end of the day, I wanted to see the Warriors down. You know what I'm saying? Down 3-1 with that horrific road record, having to win three straight, because then I would have been like, okay, you can submit your legacy, one of the greatest all-time teams, come down 3-1 and win two of those games on the road. But I wanted to go down. But listen, people are talking about, like, Curry, he made two bonehead plays, not one. There was the not knowing your timeouts, which you have seven assistant coaches. Every timeout you say, you got one timeout. You got two timeouts. You have no timeout. It's always for all you know. It's like the last thing it said in huddle.
Right.
And then for him to shoot the ball early, run the clock down, shoot it as it's expiring, game's over. Why are you pulling it so quick? So they almost got what they deserved. And it was almost like because of the mistakes, I'm like, you know what? Good. Hopefully Sacramento comes and steals it. They came that close.
I got to tell you, I don't have a problem with Barnes shooting the three. I think he's one of their best players all year, every night. He hits tons of shots. He can shoot from deep. I don't think he's the worst player. I'd rather Fox shot it or Monk. But I don't think Herter hasn't been hitting Jack. Barnes is, he had a bad day. I didn't think he shot the ball well on Sunday, but I don't really have a problem with him shooting that shot. That's a wide open wing three. You got to make it. And I thought it was a good shot. It was right there.
Well, you got to put it in, but yes, you know, you would prefer Fox or Monk the way you've been playing. You know, you rather one of those two guys get the shot up. At the end of the day, open three-point shooter, got to take your chance that he's going to knock it down. Listen, 6 out of 10, he probably hits that, Pharrell. No matter how he's playing, 6 out of 10, wide open three, he probably knocks it down. The problem is, it was one of the 4 out of 10 that he missed.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, so I want to ask you about guys that are banged up, if they're going to be able to still produce. What do you think Butler's going to do tonight after he was laying on the floor multiple times in that game the other day that they blew out the Bucks? Do you think he's okay to go belly to belly tonight?
He better. Because I think the Bucks are coming tonight. I think they're coming for him tonight. And listen, it's going to be a good game tonight. We're going to see what we're going to get out of guys like Butler, like Giannis. But to me, this game is going to be all predicated on the other guys. You know, does Brook Lopez get a damn rebound for once? Does Bobby Portis play better? Can Max Strus knock down shots? Which Bam Adebayo shows up? So to me, the stars will cancel each other out. You know, Pharrell, you know what it is, man. You hoop all the time. Is anybody healthy on April 24th? No. It's just about how much can you suck it up and ball out. I know Jimmy Butler is going to ball out tonight.
But, you know, we've been talking about the Suns, and they're crying about, they played too many minutes, Durant and Booker. They'll never be able to finish the playoffs at this rate. And I just don't buy that, Coach. I've said to Carver High a million times, I've never met a guy in my life that wanted to come out of a game. I don't care what game it is. Nobody wants to come out of a game ever.
Oh, of course you don't want to come out of a game. But still, for 44 minutes a game is a lot. As a coach, you can find a way to sub this a little bit better. Sit them out the last 3 minutes of the first quarter, first 2 minutes of the second quarter. You're sitting for 5 minutes. With the timeout, it's about 9 minutes of total time. Do it again in the second half. Now they've played 40 minutes or 41 minutes, and now they've gotten, you know, 15 minutes of rest time during the game along with halftime. There's ways you can work the timeouts and the substitutions, especially end of quarter, to try and lengthen the amount of rest they get. To me, yes, it's about playing time, but it's how you do it and how they're integrated at the end of quarter or timeouts, because it's not playing time, it's rest time in regards to not being in the game.
All right, give me your Scooby Snacks, the lion's share, brought to you by BetMGM for tonight's games.
Well, I may be crazy, but the Bucks are coming. Bucks minus 7.5. I am the sucker. I'm the blow pop, and I done took it. Bucks, here's the thing, though. Bucks are 1-4 against the spread the last five games overall. They're 1-5 against the spread the last six road games. Heat, 5-1 against the spread the last six home games. 4-1 against the spread the last five versus a team with a winning percentage over 600. Why? And the Bucks are 0-5 against the spread the last five meetings in Miami. Why am I taking it? Giannis is back, and Giannis is going to ball out tonight. Next, we're going to go with the Lakers, minus 4.5 versus the Grizzlies. I watched that beatdown. First thing first, Dylan Brooks, shut the damn mouth. No one wants to hear you anymore. You knock off Chris Jericho. But the Grizzlies are 2-6 against the spread the last eight games overall, 1-4 against the spread the last five road games. Lakers 6-2 against the spread the last eight versus a team with a winning straight up record. The Grizzlies are 2-6 against the spread the last eight meetings in LA. Pharrell, I think the Lakers honestly are the better team and are missing guys like Steven Adams and Brandon Clark a lot more than people think. It hurts their depth, particularly in the front court. Last, I'm going back to the Bucks. Team total over 27.5 points has gone over this. They average 30.5 during the regular season in the first quarter. Yes, they've gone under two of the last three games, but one game was the Giannis game that he got hurt, and the other one was game three, which they were abysmal. They get a boost from Giannis' return. I think the Bucks are desperate. If I'm them, I'm trying to throw the punch early in this game. Over 27.5 team total Bucks in the first quarter.
So over the 27.5 first quarter for the Bucks in that game tonight. What do you think the deal is with Embiid? Is he going to be ready for Boston? Because you know Boston's going to finish off Atlanta.
Boy, Pharrell, they better get that Tiger Bomb, Icy Hot, those knee sleeves, those copper fits. You got to put whatever you need to put on. Because let me tell you something. If JoJo ain't healthy, and he won't be, they're in trouble. But here's the thing, Pharrell, no one's talking about. Did you see James Harden against the Nets? Seems like all of a sudden, dude can't finish around the rim. If he can't finish around the rim, it doesn't matter how healthy Embiid is. They're in trouble. James Harden's got to be a lot better in this next series.
I like when, you're right. If I ever have sore knee, if I got any kind of arthritis going in the knee and I'm having problems, I always put on that tight sleeve. I wear it whenever I got the issue. He should just throw it on and go and just get it on, because if they don't have him, they have no chance in that series. He's got to play.
No, and I think the other big thing is this. Look out for Robert Williams. He's starting to play. 29 minutes last night, 15 rebounds. He gives Embiid fits. Offensive rebound, lob threat, defender. If Big Rob is playing, they're in trouble.
I mean, he owned the glass last night in Hot Town. He got every single rebound. It was unbelievable. All right, Cup, enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so Christian Cipollini is our guy at BetMGM today to break down what's going on at the Hizzy. Good to see you, Christian. I want to start with my man, Aaron Rodgers, right? So he finally gets traded to the Jets this afternoon. It's a done deal before the draft. How does that trade affect the Jets' Super Bowl odds at BetMGM?
Well, it's nothing at all, because we've known about it for about a month or so now, however long it's been. Those odds have moved, and actually, you really never really had much of a chance of getting the Jets at a big price, because the idea of them getting some sort of quarterback, whoever it may have been, Rodgers, you know, whoever else was out there, was pretty high. So they've been pretty low all season, actually. So not a lot of opportunity to get them at a big price.
What is their price now?
We're plus 2,500 on them. Plus 1,400 on them. They're like in the second, I'd say, tier of teams. They're the highest odds in this next tier.
So do they jump up as the second favorite team at all to win the AFC East?
Yeah, so that's where they've been positioned, you know, understanding, like with the rumors that we've heard and it pretty much being a done deal a few months back. So they're behind the Bills at this point for the AFC. Surely is their second favorite.
Listen, I'm not going to deny the Bills' playoff demeanor and excellence. They make it, it seems like, every year now with Josh Allen. I'm not going to argue that whatsoever. But I am going to say they fold up shop every year. I mean, they just fold up shop. And that's just all there is to it. Do you think that a lot of people, because of that New York market, obviously you got the New York market as well with the Bills upstate, but that New York City market is going to go crazy betting the Jets, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Jets always end up taking money no matter what every season. Even when they're 150 to 1, 250 to 1, they still end up taking bets. So at this point, they're our third biggest liability. And I'd imagine by the time the season comes around, they'll be at least there, if not one or two.
So what's their win total?
We don't have that number yet. Usually we come out with those about right after the draft, once we know a little bit more.
So if you were to guess, like right now, what would your guess be? 11?
Yeah, probably about 10 or 11 sounds about right.
There you go. What are his odds for MVP like in New York? I mean, obviously, it's going to change, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, you would think he has a totally different team around him. First time he's ever experienced something like this. But he's about middle of the pack here, plus 1,600 at the moment.
Wow, it's crazy. I'm just glad it's over. What a the divorce that never happened. It just took forever to get this relationship over with. I mean, how phony was that entire thing with Green Bay? I got to tell you, it was disgusting how long it took to get rid of him. They drafted that kid and then played games. They gave him that big fat contract to stay, and they had no intention of keeping him. I think the Packers are phonies. Let's talk about the weekend in the NBA and NHL playoffs. What was that like for the Hizzy?
Yeah, this is a statistically pretty bad week for the book. First round of the NBA playoffs always end up pretty bad for us because a lot of times it's lopsided teams where you got a really good team playing a pretty bad team, and those good teams tend to beat up on those bad teams, especially in the playoffs. And of course, favorites winning is never good for the book. So not one of our better weeks.
I mean, what has it done to you guys that every team that wins covers? It's like 28-2 for the winners covering.
Yeah, that's worst outcome, the worst case scenario for the book. I mean, typically favorites winning is bad, and then when they go on a 28-2 run, yeah, we get smacked around a bit. So, yeah, ideally, second round usually is when we can kind of get some of that money back. Usually, it starts to turn around. Some of the dogs are able to win, or at least the favorites don't cover as much. So
I landed that second one yesterday when I had the Kings and the 7.5 against the Warriors. That was the second team to cover a spread. They didn't win, obviously, but that was a huge cover. Are there people going for it tonight with the Heat and the Grizzlies? Are they going for it?
Yeah, not as much. This Grizzlies-Lakers series has actually been a little bit back and forth. Before the series, we were taking more Grizzlies bets, which I didn't expect. And after Ja's injury, we started getting more and more on the series. It started turning around. But tonight, we're taking more Lakers money so far. So it's shifted back around, and people are definitely rooting for the Lakers. And on the flip side, Bucks Heat, with Giannis expected to play, we're all on the Bucks right now. So Bucks rooting for the Heat.
So you guys need the Heat tonight, and you Heat need Grizzlies. The Grizzlies tonight based on everybody's pouring on L.A. and on Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we can get a good outcome here because it hasn't been the best weekend.
A lot of player props were hitting the overs this weekend. How did that work out for you guys?
Again, bad one for the book. Overs are bad. Favorites are bad. So when player props are hitting, especially these big players, John Morant going for 40-something points, things like that, they're another one that's never good for the book. So while sometimes these, you know, their averages start to tend up and we, you know, we might move and react, when they still keep going over, it doesn't really matter. So
what's it like just for the average layman, for the average fan and better and viewer and you know, listener to our network, Sports Grid, all the fans that, you know, love to put a little piece on the game, they want to know what it's like just from your end of things when you talk about a bad day for the book. When you guys are losing, and because you win so much, when you're losing, just give fans an idea of what it's like at the book when you guys are having a bad day so that they can better understand, because they never, I think, get a taste of your bad day. You know what I mean? They're the ones usually having the bad days. And they're like, well, all we do is lose. We never beat these guys. What's it like in your house when the book is having a bad day so fans can understand that it goes both ways?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our bad days actually stem from injury news or like this Aaron Rodgers trade. At least this Rodgers trade was known, but a lot of times when things pop up, we also don't know as well. We're getting the information at sometimes at the same time. So if Woj sits there and says Giannis is hurt, bets start piling on, and sometimes we're just trying to react. And then especially when suddenly, you know, we start losing, you know, we try to keep our heads cool and try to stick to our plan and stick to the strategy that we try to make it. But it can definitely get stressful in the trading room there, especially when things aren't going our way.
Wow. What are the top props for tonight's two games that you're seeing today?
So I got two in the Bucks Heat game that I saw a bunch coming through all day through the ticker. I've actually seen Caleb Martin over points, rebounds, and assists. So we've been taking a ton of those, and Drew Holiday as well. So I can't speak for exactly why we're getting those bets. I'd imagine someone somewhere has pointed out that they've got a bit of an edge there. But that's two of the big ones I've seen all day.
Caleb Martin, Christ, I haven't heard his name in 2 months. I mean, yeah. All of a sudden he's going to go off tonight. Like, honestly, I'm going to keep my eye on that now. You're probably right. Somebody knows something, which is what it really is all about, information. And you get plenty of that on the grid.
Yeah, sometimes it's little things of maybe there's something that he's getting more – expected to get more minutes than usual, or, you know, he's – different role on the team, they're going to try something different. Maybe someone has a little bit more inside knowledge than we have, and that's why they like him. But that's definitely a one I didn't expect coming, but we've seen it all day.
Well, you remember him in college, the guy went off. I mean, when he was playing in college, that guy was 30 a night. I mean, it was unbelievable. With all the back and forth action in the NHL playoffs in these series, who are people betting on tonight in these four games? And I have to tell you, we said this earlier, Christian, that the Stanley Cup playoffs have been better than the NBA playoffs. Better games, overtime games every night, double overtime games. All the games are close. All the games are crazy. There's fights breaking out. The action is sustainable. In the NBA, you constantly have bad games and blowouts.
Yeah, so, I mean, same thing. The NHL has actually been helping us a bit, you know, save some of our weekend when we've been getting beat up in the NBA. The NHL has kind of helped us. What helps is that the way their playoff structure is, where they have a lot of these rivalry series. So, like, we have Devils-Rangers tonight, which is a big one, whereas the NBA is a lot of lopsided things. So it's definitely more exciting. We do pick up more bets once NHL playoffs start. For tonight, Rangers, Maple Leafs, Knights, and Avalanche are where the bettors are falling so far. So all the favorites at the moment, although two of those games are about to pick them. But yeah, Rangers fans have been overwhelming over the Devils fans in this big rivalry series here.
But have you noticed the monies in the States, in New Jersey and in New York with that particular series? Have you noticed how big it's gotten in New Jersey and New York, the betting per general overall, but in this rivalry, this hated rivalry between these two, have you seen a spike in money coming in on the series?
Yeah, we've definitely had a spike. There's definitely a lot of excitement, especially in the New York area with the Knicks and with the Rangers at the moment too, and then even across the way with the Devils. So this little area, it does have a pretty big spike in betting than what normally would take place, because a lot of excitement in the air.
So the Bruins are now up 3-1. They're going to win that series. Have most of the bets on them come from New England up there, or have been like people betting them everywhere else around the country as well, thinking they can make quick money on the Bruins.
So it was interesting throughout the season. I was shocked that we weren't getting more action on them on the futures market for the outright than we were. I mean, from the jump, they were looked to be far and away the best team. So I was stunned when we were gotten into around January-ish where we still weren't taking a ton of bets. Once we did launch in Massachusetts, though, that did change. So it was a combo of we started taking a ton of bets once Massachusetts launched, and then also people started picking up that, whoa, this team's really good once they started getting to the point where they were about to break the record. So they're by far our biggest liability, and we're getting a ton of backers on them. We couldn't write any tickets on the Panthers on this series. We felt kind of fortunate that the Panthers even got one game so far.
What about the Edmonton-LA series? Are a lot of people betting that because it's such a great series?
Yeah, Oilers have been a big favorite on the outright and the series betting, at least before the series started. Now it has turned around a little bit, as it's probably been the best series of them all so far, and a little bit unexpected that the Kings would kind of be giving the Oilers as big of a fit they have, especially considering how hot they were towards the end of the season. It's one of the more series that we're getting a lot more action on. A little bit more money coming in on the Kings, but we're definitely still more side on the Oilers.
Respectfully, I got 30 seconds. I hit that Tank Davis bet in the 7th through the 12th to win at plus 220. I hit that bet on Saturday. How much did that cost you guys, that Tank Davis win?
Actually, we ended up on top on that one. Some of the props actually saved us. We lost on just the straight up money line outright, but we caught it back on a lot of the props. So that was fortunate for us. But we would have liked Garcia, actually. That would have been a much better outcome. But good for you. Good luck.
Christian, great stuff, my man. Thanks. Say hi to everybody at BetMGM. Appreciate you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for Today in Carver High History.
It is, and guess what? A special today, Scotty, because it's such a monumental day. Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets, so I wipe away all of the other sports history for today to give you that, since we'll probably be doing this many years from now on Today in Carver High Sports History. Is Aaron Rodgers going there? You talked about the return before. You just talked with Christian about how all the numbers are going to move. Look, I guess we could say we've kind of known for weeks that this was going to happen, and they finally got it done today. You know, they re-engaged over the weekend. They knew what they had to do. But now it's put up or shut up time, right? They got to win now. Now it's done. Now it's actually happened. He's going to be with the Jets, a franchise that isn't known winning for a very long time. Is he actually going to get it done here? That's what it comes down to.
Well, I think he's going to win, and I think they have a loaded team of talent. I thought they had their moments last year. As usual, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were winning, and I thought that Salah and his staff, I think Joe Douglas, I think everything is pointed towards success. They're headed in the right direction. I thought their draft the last couple years, the one in Vegas, was incredible. And they've got all these talented players now, Sauce Gardner, et cetera. And then to trade for Aaron Rodgers, who I still believe clearly has, you know, 3 good years left in him at least. That guy can sling it. He can flat out play. I don't care what anybody says. The Packers got hot last year because of him. He's the reason they win. And I think they're going to win with him. Are they going to topple the Bills? We'll find out. It certainly made the AFC East more exciting in a matter of seconds.
It certainly did. And, now you could say what? Pats are probably the worst team in the AFC East right now, right? Dolphins are good. Jets have Rodgers. Bills are good. Wow, the tables have turned in the AFC East. What a shame.
That's awesome.
What a shame.